From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the outreach is on. Activists and paid navigators take to the streets of Texas, educating communities about the Affordable Care Act. The critics of Obamacare continue their drumbeat, saying this big government program is not going to work. And the e-cigarette craze, is the puffing of these flavored vapors safer than the old-fashioned cig? This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Affordable Care Act health insurance marketplace goes online at the start of October. Despite the best efforts of the state's leadership, Obamacare is coming to Texas, and outreach efforts are now underway, trying to get the word out to the people who need it the most. I went to a community information session about Obamacare in a low-income neighborhood in San Antonio.
Delighted that the Texas Organizing Project decided to come here today. We have a lot of work to do with respect to the Affordable Care Act, and I hope that...
On a day-to-day basis, there are over 6.3 million Texans here that are uninsured, that live day-to-day, who live under the fear that they're one medical bill away from living in a lifetime of debt. And to make sure that everyone has the correct information and knows all the avenues...
Juan Flores, I'm Executive Director for La Fe Policy Research and Education Center. They have a lot of questions. The majority of folks that are here are folks with stories about the situation they're in without health insurance. You know, the big question is, can I get enrolled? Will I qualify? Real fundamental kinds of questions insurance will fulfill through the
Act. We don't talk to each other today. I promise you the echo chamber and the voices out there, the stronger forces that control our state government, do not want to see this to be a success. In fact, they will be proven wrong when it becomes a success. So they have every incentive to confuse you. They have every incentive to tell you something just to make you hesitate and make you worry that this is not the direction to go.
The nation's biggest recipient of federal dollars to promote Obamacare is in Texas. It's the United Way of Tarrant County. They're hiring health navigators to help Texans sign up for health insurance through the exchanges. Tim McKinney is the nonprofit's president.
That's correct, $5.9 million.
What are you going to do with that $5.9 million?
Mainly we're going to hire, well, let me back up if I can. We're the lead organization of a 16-member consortium, and the consortium covers about 220 counties of the 254 counties in Texas. They're divided into regions, and the member organizations are going to cover those regions. The $5.9 million grant will largely pay for 75 navigators to be hired across the state.
So I hear a lot about navigators being involved in the rollout of the Affordable Care Act as it goes into effect. What does a navigator do?
Well, a navigator will primarily inform and educate the consumer, the client, about the products available out in the market exchange.
So will they be in an office and working phone lines, or will they be organizing meetings and block walking? How does that work?
They'll be doing all of the above that you just said. Their job description includes community outreach in the form of town hall meetings and meetings with hospitals, meetings with partner organizations of, say, the United Way. And they will also have face-to-face meetings with clients, and they'll be taking phone calls. The goal of the grant, or the grant has a goal that statewide we will have 55,200 face-to-face meetings over the enrollment period from October 1st through March 31st, and we will touch around 450,000 people in the form of town hall meetings and events like that.
You're dealing with 220 of the Texas counties, so the 254 that we have. What's happening with those other ones that aren't involved in your grant?
There will be. There were other grants awarded in the state, and they will be covered there.
Do you have a problem using Obamacare as a term?
The president has used it, so I don't have a problem with it. We prefer to use the Affordable Care Act.
It's coming. We have these online exchanges. What do people need to know about that?
The people who are eligible need to know about it. There's going to be a lot of marketing and advertising that will occur beginning in the next 2 weeks that will direct the people who are eligible to purchase products on the marketplace. And the eligibility requirements are you have to be under 65, and your income can be in the range of 100% to 400% above the poverty level. So, you know, those are the people who this particular exchange is geared to. That's who we want to enroll in the exchange.
There was a recent study out that showed that something almost 50% of the people weren't even aware that this was happening. And so you guys obviously have your work cut out for you.
We probably do. That's the advertising and marketing coverage has not begun yet. And I think when it does, that's when the education process will begin.
So, and when the education process begins, do you think that we will finally be able to set aside some of the demagoguery that we've had about Obamacare and start working on what it actually is and how it can actually help people? Because it is the law now.
That's right. It's the law, and it's really an extension of what our organization has been doing for many years, and that's promoting quality health care to our constituents, to our market.
So are you having to coordinate quite a bit with Washington, D.C. on how this is going to happen?
No, not at all, really. We Marjorie Petty is the regional director of Human and Health Services in Dallas, and she's been very helpful in coordinating, our relationship with HHS.
Any indications that this is a train wreck? Train wreck is the word I've heard quite a bit by some people who are opposed to Obamacare talking about the rollout.
I'm not going to get into that. We expect to have our navigators trained and ready to go as of October 1st. And, I'm very confident that we'll be able to do that. And come October 1st and all the way through the enrollment period, I'm confident that we're going to achieve our goals that are set in the grant.
Tim McKinney is the president of the United Way of Tarrant County. The nonprofit, along with partner agencies, will be working across most of Texas to help people sign up for the Affordable Care Act through online exchanges. As laid out earlier, Texan officials don't like the Affordable Care Act. They tried to keep it from passing. They've been active in trying to repeal it, defund it, and discredit it. On Friday, Senator John Cornyn announced that he is sponsoring an amendment to delay both the employer and individual Obamacare mandates. In a prepared release, Cornyn is quoted as saying, "As we have seen with delay after delay, the president has acknowledged that a significant portion of his health care law is broken. It is critical that we prevent this broken law from harming Americans." Also on Friday, the White House is trumpeting what they call an Obamacare success. A new report released by the Department of Health and Human Services shows that 6.8 million consumers saved an estimated $1.2 billion on health insurance premiums in 2012 due to the rate review portion of the Affordable Care Act. White House officials say the Affordable Care Act continues to bring scrutiny to proposed health insurance rate increases and is saving consumers real money as a result. A leading conservative think tank in Texas is critical of Obamacare. John Davison of the Texas Public Policy Foundation explains why.
The main reason to be suspicious about the rollout of Obamacare is that we believe it will drive up the cost of health care, specifically on the health care plans offered on the exchanges. And here in Texas, on October 1st, enrollment will start on a federal exchange that will offer federally approved or Affordable Care Act approved health care plans. and some people who go onto the exchange will be eligible for a federal subsidy. We believe, because of regulations and rules on insurance companies within the law, that these plans are going to be quite a bit more expensive than what a person on the individual market could purchase right now.
Now, there was a RAND Corporation study of the impact of Obamacare on premiums in Texas. They found that they may tick up about 9%, but they thought that was due mainly to the fact that we did not expand Medicaid in the state. But had we had expanded Medicaid in the state, they said it would have gone down a little bit.
Right. I'm familiar with the RAND study, and there's a couple problems with it. One problem with it, and this doesn't discount the study at all, but it was commissioned and paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which, as we all know, has a dog in this fight and wants to sell the public on the idea that plans on the exchanges are going to be affordable and are going to be a good deal for Americans. However, some other scholarship is coming out that indicates this is not the case, and I specifically would point to a recent study by the Manhattan Institute that looked at the states that have already released their exchange plans and the rates for the exchange plans. And in these 13 states, the Manhattan Institute study found that on average, the plans on these exchanges are 24% more expensive than the average individual plans in those markets right now. Now, there's wide variety between states. You know, New York State has a highly regulated individual insurance market, and a state like Texas doesn't. So in New York, you may actually, Obamacare may actually deregulate the individual market beyond where it was because it was so regulated before. But in states like Texas and other states that have a relatively lightly regulated individual market, you are likely going to see, as we have seen in other states so far that have posted their exchange rates, a significant increase in the cost of insurance on the individual market.
We don't know yet what the costs are going to be in Texas. We're still waiting to see what the state insurance commissioner is going to release, and that may be coming next week.
That's right. We don't know what the plans will cost right now. We do know some of who the players will be. Blue Cross Blue Shield is one of the largest players that will be on the exchange and will be offering, based on reports, will be offering plans in all the counties in Texas. A number of other large players, Aetna, for example, will not be offering plans on the individual exchange or individual plans on the exchange. So we know some of the carriers that will be on the exchange, but we don't know how much their plans will cost. And that's important because one of the things that supporters of Obamacare keep saying is that, yes, plans may be more expensive, maybe there's these regulations in the law that will drive up costs, but that will be offset by the federal subsidies. And the important thing to understand about the federal subsidies is that they're not available to everyone, first of all. If you earn too much money, you don't qualify for a federal subsidy. And number two, there's no guarantee that the federal subsidy will significantly offset the costs of the premiums on the exchange because we don't know what those premiums will be. And in many other states, especially states, as I said, that have lightly regulated individual markets right now, the subsidies are not enough to drive that price of the premium down below what it is right now.
Now, the argument for the Affordable Care Act is that by providing this requirement to enroll and getting insurance, that we get more people into the risk pool and more people have coverage so that people don't go to the emergency room or they don't rack up hospital bills that they walk away from, and we have all these costs that are absorbed by, you know, the rest of the consumers. So overall, in the aggregate, looking at healthcare costs and expenses, will having something like Obamacare working be able to provide, you know, people may have higher premiums, maybe, according to you, but if you look at what we would actually pay in healthcare or what the community hospital district might be shelling out for these things, then the overall cost could be reduced.
Well, that's one of the theories, and it's a good question because a lot hinges on what people will do, right? The entire scheme of these exchanges in Obamacare depends upon as many people as possible signing up for coverage, as you said, to dilute the risk pool. And the theory is the more people who sign up, the more it will drive prices down. So it's very important for the law to work, for especially for young, healthy people to sign up and pay for coverage on the exchanges. The theory is that young, healthy people, and this is the theory that goes right to the heart of the law, the theory is that the young and the healthy will subsidize care for the old and the sick. It's as simple as that. And so what we'll see is that young people, people in their 20s and 30s who are in relatively good health, are going to pay significantly more for coverage on the exchanges than they are paying right now. If they do that in large numbers and sign up to pay for this health insurance that heretofore they have not seen fit to purchase or to buy because it's they don't feel as though they need it or want it, then you may see the law work as it's intended. But that's a big gamble, and a lot of you know, people are saying right now, when you actually look at the numbers and you run the numbers, say for a 27-year-old non-smoker in Austin, for example, can get a high deductible catastrophic health care plan right now for about $50 a month. Now, there's no way that that's going to be available on the exchange, number one, because those kinds of plans are not going to meet the minimum criteria, and so they'll essentially be illegal. And number two, those kinds of plans have been panned by Obamacare supporters as being plans that nobody really wanted anyway. And yet, when you talk to people and when you look at the numbers, these are the plans that young and healthy people have sought out in the past. And those plans won't be available. So will they voluntarily buy more expensive plans? That's the big question.
When the Republican politicians who are opposed to the Affordable Care Act talk about it, they use terms like it's a train wreck, which to me, you know, train wreck is a huge bad catastrophe that which there is very little to salvage from. Is that what you see this as? Is this a train wreck?
Well, I would say, first of all, it was Senator Max Baucus and Senator Harry Reid that used the term train wreck first. And both of those senators were integral to the passage of the Affordable Care Act. They, in some ways, were the congressional architects of the law, and they characterized what's coming down as a train wreck. And the reason they did that is because as implementation has moved forward, in fact, everything that's happened since the passage of the law has not gone as planned. There are all these unintended consequences, beginning with the Supreme Court ruling saying that states were allowed to refuse the Medicaid expansion and still keep their current Medicaid dollars, all the way down to delays of the employer mandate. Now you have the unions coming out very forcefully against the Affordable Care Act, realizing that it's putting their health plans in jeopardy. So you have there is kind of a perfect storm brewing around this law, and I don't think even the most ardent supporters of it would say that it has gone well or that has so far gone as planned. And the ultimate train wreck would be if these exchanges open, not enough people sign up because the plans are too expensive and people just simply don't want to pay the money, and then what we start to have is an adverse selection spiral, and that's when, and this has happened, this happens in insurance markets, when not enough healthy people sign up and there's too many sick people in the insurance pool with too high of insurance claims, premiums go up, more healthy people drop out, premiums continue to go up until the market collapses, which has happened in a couple of states that have implemented similar reforms that are in Obamacare in the 90s and in the first decade of 21st century as well.
And that explains why there is so much effort now for folks to roll out the Obamacare and get people to sign up and make them aware of it, and it explains why people who are opposed to it are doing all they can to keep people from doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, but ultimately this comes down to a question of incentives, and people are going to do what's in their best interest. You know, if you ask me, Is it likely that large numbers of young and healthy people are going to voluntarily sign up for insurance that could be 50, 100, 150% more expensive than what they're paying now or what they would pay now? I would say it's unlikely that that's going to happen. And if that doesn't happen, I think that it's very likely we're going to see premiums go up very quickly.
John Davison is a senior healthcare policy analyst for the Conservative Public Policy Foundation of Texas. It's impossible to talk about the Affordable Care Act without bringing up politics. The party lines are not blurred here, at least not in Texas. That's another reason why the stakes are so high in the rollout of Obamacare, aside from the fact that if it works, millions of people could now gain access to reliable and accessible healthcare. Harvey Kronberg of the online Quorum Report says political miscalculations about health care coverage have cost Texas Republicans before.
As you may recall, Barack Obama actually got fewer votes in Texas in 2012 than he did in 2008. He went from 44% to about 40%. And since there's no Democratic voice to speak of in Texas, the antipathy towards the administration is extreme. And, of course, we've been held hostage to presidential politics now for two cycles. So the governor has simply drawn a line in the sand. But the reality is that the appropriators in both the House and the Senate, with certain conditions, would have welcomed the additional Obama funds and the exchange structure. But essentially, for all practical purposes, Governor Perry simply said no, and they couldn't get around him.
So are there going to be political consequences if Obamacare does turn out to be an okay program and it does help people get health insurance and health care that they otherwise would not be able to receive?
I would think so, and I would point to the last decade, the 2000s. The big innovation in healthcare at that point was children's health insurance program, and it was a similar kind of deal where the federal government would give you $9, and you would for every $1 you committed. So it was an incredible, from a business perspective, it was an incredible match. Republicans rejected the CHIP expansion, and while it didn't make very much difference in the Texas Senate, in the Texas House. In 2003, after the redistricting, they had 88 Republicans out of 150. Three election cycles, they were down to 76. And Democratic consultants will tell you that the suburban female vote, to a large degree, was responsible, and that their two most effective issues were denial of health insurance to children and what was perceived to be assault on public schools.
Will Democrats, in this upcoming election season, will they try to capitalize on the lack of expansion on Medicaid and the opposition to Obamacare?
I'm doubtful it's going to have much of an impact this election cycle because we haven't seen dramatic results from states that are participating. But this is also the first election after a firmed up map, or the second election after a firmed up map. So while Republicans may lose a couple of seats, it's usually the middle of the decade where redistricting starts to fray. And you combine that with the fact that if you end up with high satisfaction levels from other states, it could prove to be a salient issue in elections to come.
Harvey Kronberg is the editor of the Quorum Report, an online newsletter that covers Texas politics. It's at quorumreport.com. One way to lower healthcare costs is to convince more people to kick the smoking habit. That's why we don't see the Marlboro Man pushing tobacco on TV anymore. But now you will find other familiar faces flaunting electronic cigarettes, e-cigarettes. National sales of e-cigarettes is catching fire, doubling in 2012. And as North Texas Public Radio KERA's Lauren Silverman reports, the industry expects to sell $1 billion worth of e-cigarettes this year.
In Texas, it really is the Wild West for electronic cigarettes. There are very few rules on where you can use them, so usually it's inhale before you inquire.
I haven't really asked. I just kind of do it a little bit and see if anyone starts looking and staring or, being like, oh, what is that? Are they smoking inside?
Gil Snyder, who's 25, has been sipping a coffee at Pearl Cup in Dallas and vaping. That's what they call smoking an e-cigarette. Like a lot of converts, Snyder picked up his first pack of traditional cigarettes young, at 16, and has tried to quit several times.
I'd always go back and start with like one cigarette here and then a cigarette there, and the next thing I know, I'm smoking a full pack a day.
Until he found the e-cigarette. The one he uses isn't an imitation of the Marlboros he once smoked, though plenty of those are still on the market. His looks like a small black flashlight with a mouthpiece on the end. The device uses a battery to heat a liquid nicotine solution. So instead of smoke, you get vapor.
Whenever I inhale, it gives me like a nice feeling in the chest like a regular cigarette would. And I don't think about smoking cigarettes. I don't crave smoking cigarettes. It's been pretty nice.
They're being advocated as an alternative to tobacco cigarettes. But the long-term effects of those is really unknown right now.
Caroline Ricards is studying e-cigarettes at the University of North Texas Health Science Center.
The issue is that because they're relatively new to the market, there's just not the long-term studies that have been conducted as yet in terms of the long-term harm or benefit. We really don't know.
E-cigarettes don't have to play by the same rules as tobacco cigarettes. Minors are free to stock up in stores and online, and the FDA doesn't currently regulate the chemicals in them. And while e-cigarettes don't contain tar or carbon monoxide, some do have carcinogens and other toxic chemicals, including an ingredient used in antifreeze, according to the FDA. Still, business is booming. Every day, around 100 people walk into Vixen Vapors in Pantego. Lindy Davis opened the electronic cigarette store, decorated with red, white, and blue, a year and a half ago.
We started the shop with just myself, my husband, and our friend Jonathan, who all three of us own it. We're the only ones that were here, and now we have 25 employees to help us run the store and the day-to-day functions.
This is the Starbucks of electronic cigarettes. You can get the device itself, all the accessories, charging cables, car adapters, and any nicotine strength and flavor combination you can imagine.
Our most popular flavor is Tiger's Blood. Ambrosia is a fruit blend that's really, really popular. Pixie's Dust is still popular.
What's
which is like an orange pixie stick.
Critics say combining nicotine with candy flavors is a surefire way to get teens and kids hooked on a substance we don't know much about. Davis says it's a combination that helped her quit smoking. Over a period of months, she lowered the amount of nicotine in her liquid concoction down to zero. She still takes hits from her e-cigarette every few minutes. The flavor?
Crunchy Monkey Cupcake, which is like a peanut butter banana cupcake. It's really good.
Prices vary. At Vixen Vapors, starter kits go for $55, and refills are about $4. Still, makers and users say you save money over time. So far, the handheld devices have been most popular with millennials, but more experienced smokers are also vaping.
After 58 years, I quit smoking, and I wouldn't trade my vapor for all the tea in China.
Pat Cox of Fort Worth, who wears her e-cigarette on a lanyard around her neck, doesn't have to go that far. The FDA has no rules on the devices just yet, but plans to start regulating them. And that's good news for doctors worried that vapor might not be as benign as it seems. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You could also comment directly on our website at tpr.org. And that's also where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to. You could also find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.